Welcome to D&B College. In this lesson, we're taking something simple, a tapis atmosphere, and turning it into a living, performance-ready texture inside Ableton Live 12. The idea is not to leave HIS sitting there as background noise. We want it to behave like a musical layer, something that can swell into an intro, open up before a drop, duck around the drums, and even mutate into tension during breakdowns and switch-ups. That kind of movement is gold in drum and bass, because the track feels bigger when the space around the drums is alive. Why this works in D&B is simple. The drums and bass are already doing a lot of the heavy lifting. So when you animate the atmosphere around them, the arrangement gains contrast. The hiss becomes part of the pressure, not just decoration. Start with a clean hiss source. Keep it simple. You can use a steady noise source if you have one set up, or a resampled audio clip that loops smoothly. The main thing is that it needs to be broadband and stable, without any obvious pitch. Trim it cleanly, loop it, and remove clicks with tiny fades if needed. You want something that feels even and textured, not harsh or digital. What to listen for here is a hiss that feels soft but rich. If it already sounds brittle and solo, it will only get worse once you start filtering and saturating it. So choose a source that can survive processing. Now build a simple stock device chain. A really solid starting point is a Q8, saturator, autofilter, compressor or glue compressor if you want ducking later, and utility at the end. High pass the hiss first, usually somewhere around 180 to 300 Hz, so it stays well away from the kick, sub, and low mids. If the top end is stabbing too hard against the snare crack, make a small dip around 3 to 5 kHz. Then add a little saturator, maybe 2 to 6 dB of drive to start, just enough to give the hiss some body and that slightly degraded tape feel. Finish with auto filter for motion and utility for stereo control. What to listen for now is density, not distortion. The saturation should make the hiss feel thicker and more physical, like it belongs in the track. If it turns into sandpaper, back off the drive or smooth it out with EQ. In D&B, that balance matters a lot, because you need attitude without losing clarity. Before you automate anything, map the important parameters to macros. Group the chain into an audio effect rack, then assign the controls you actually want to perform. A strong setup might be tone on the filter cutoff, grid on saturator drive, width on utility width, presence on an EQ shelf or bell, level on track or utility gain, and movement on filter resonance or another filter amount. Keep it musical. If you would reach for it in an intro or transition, it probably deserves a macro. Name them something clear so you can move fast. Darken, grit, spread, bite, lift, surge. That kind of naming helps a lot when you start automating in the arrangement view. From there, shape the hiss like it has an envelope, not just a static loop. A flat noise bed can work in some ambient styles, but in drum and bass it usually needs phrasing. Think in sections. Let the intro start filtered and low. Open it gradually over 4 or 8 bars. Bring it up harder in the pre-drop. Then pull it back, or switch to a more degraded version, once the drop hits. What to listen for is whether the atmosphere feels like it is opening the room. That is the goal. If the movement feels too fast, it becomes a special effect. If it is too slow, it disappears into the background and stops feeling intentional. Next, make it breathe around the drums. This is crucial. You do not want the hiss sitting on top of the snare and stealing the transient. You can use sidechain compression from the kick or snare group for a subtle duck, or you can draw volume automation manually if the break is chopped up and irregular. The compressor method is quicker and gives a slightly elastic pulse. Manual automation is better if you want the hiss to tuck down exactly around ghost notes, fills, and snare hits. Why this works in D&B is that the snare has to stay sharp. The groove in drum and bass depends on that snap. So if the hiss disappears just enough on the snare and returns in the gaps, the atmosphere feels integrated instead of messy. Stereo width is another big one. Use utility at the end and control it from a macro. Wider can feel huge in an intro or breakdown, but if you overdo it, the texture can become facey and weak in mono. A good approach is to keep intros and breakdowns a little wider, then narrow things down in the drop if the bass needs more center focus. As a rough guide, you might live somewhere around 110 to 140% in open sections, then closer to 80 to 100% when the drop gets serious. What to listen for here is whether the hiss still feels solid when you collapse the mix mentally to mono. If the texture vanishes completely, that is only okay if it is meant to be a peripheral effect. If it carries important momentum, keep more of the core centered and let the movement come from tone and automation instead. At this point, decide whether you want clean tape or corrupted tape. Clean tape means moderate saturation, smoother filtering, and a controlled top end that works beautifully for smoky intros, rollers, and DJ-friendly openings. Corrupted tape means more drive, a bit more resonance, and a harder bite in the upper band that suits darker neuro-leaning intros, industrial tension, and heavier switch-ups. Both are useful. Clean gives you mix space and longevity. Corrupted gives you attitude. If you find the chain getting too busy or CPU heavy, print the processed hiss to audio and treat it like arrangement material. That often makes the whole process cleaner and more decisive. Now place the hiss against the full track, not in isolation. Bring in the drums and bass and check how the texture behaves around the snare, the hats, the subtails, and any mid-bass movement. If the bass loses focus, reduce the hiss around the low mids and lower the overall level before changing the whole sound. A good hiss layer should make the groove feel more expensive, not less powerful. A really useful way to think about the automation is in bars, not random gestures. Build broad shapes first. For example, a filtered and narrow intro for the first four bars, a slow lift in cutoff and saturation over the next four, then a quicker swell into the pre-drop. On the second pass, do not just repeat it exactly. Change the character. Maybe the second version is dirtier but narrower, or wider but darker. That kind of contrast keeps the arrangement moving. What to listen for is whether the change feels like arrangement, not parameter movement. The listener should feel tension building, space opening, or pressure tightening. If it just sounds like knobs being turned, refine the phrasing. Keep the level under control. In most cases, the hiss should sit several dB below the apparent snare energy. It should be felt as much as heard. In the drop, if it starts drawing too much attention, narrow it, darken it, or lower it. In the intro and breakdown, let it breathe a little more. The atmosphere should support the hierarchy of the track: kick and snare first, sub and bass next, then the high-frequency motion around them. A strong extra move is to create two states in the rack. One state can be darker, cleaner, and narrower. The other can be brighter, dirtier, and a bit wider. Automate between them over 4 or 8 bars. That gives you contrast without needing a completely new sound every time. Another useful trick is to add tiny reverse or printed transition pieces later on. If you resample a few bars of the processed hiss, you can chop out the best moments and place short reverse tails before snare pickups. That works especially well in darker rollers and jungle-influenced intros. Keep it subtle, though. You want tension, not FX clutter. A good quality control habit is to check the hiss 3 ways: solo, with drums only, and with a full bass playing. In solo, it should be smooth and controlled. With drums, it should stay out of the snare's way. With bass, the sub should still feel anchored. If it passes solo but fails in context, trust context every time. That is where the real mix decisions happen. If you want a more underground feel, keep the atmosphere as a negative space weapon. Sometimes the strongest moment is not when the hiss gets louder, but when it cuts away just before the snare or drop. The absence can hit harder than the sound itself. That is a very DNB move, and it works. So here is the core idea to take away. Build a simple hiss source. Control the low end early. Map a few useful macros. Automate in broad phrases. Let the hiss breathe around the snare and bass. Then decide whether your track wants clean tape or corrupted tape energy. If you do that well, the atmosphere stops being a background layer and starts acting like part of the arrangement. And that is the win here. Your hiss should feel intentional, cinematic, and mix-aware. Present when the tune needs tension, gone when the drop needs punch, breathing with the track instead of sitting on top of it. Now try the mini exercise. Build one macro-controlled hiss rack that can carry an 8-bar intro and a 4-bar pre-drop without masking the drums. Keep it stock device only, use no more than 6 macros, and make sure it ducks or tucks around the snare. Then test it with kick, snare, and sub together. If you want the full challenge, print at least one automation move to audio and make a second version that is either cleaner or more corrupted. Keep it simple, keep it musical, and trust the phrasing. When the atmosphere opens at exactly the right moment, the whole track feels bigger. That is the sound of arrangement control.